Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, 923 with Chris Franklin, WWL-TV's new chief meteorologist. Not new to the city at all. Brother Martin graduate, went to school at the University of South Alabama, which is in Mobile. They get a lot of rain and storms. Alabama, one of the top states for tornadoes. And then before we went to the break, Chris told us that you went to Kansas when you got out of school to chase tornadoes. Chris?
Television was in Topeka, Kansas, KSNT. And yeah, I mean, usually with television, and we tell a lot of kids that are going into broadcasting, you start out small. Rarely do you get the opportunity to start in your hometown or go into a bigger market, a bigger television market right away. So you start small.
I did, but it's not about me.
Arkansas.
Go ahead, Chris. You did what now?
But few of us are like you,
yes.
Tommy.
All right, but go ahead. Seriously.
So I had a job interview in Jonesboro, Arkansas, then an interview in Topeka, chose Topeka. And, it's been a year with blizzards, winter weather, and tornado chasing during the spring.
So what is that like when you're out there? Because it seems as though that would terrify me. You're trying to get as close to this thing as you possibly can?
Well, usually what we do, and this was 04, so this is kind of the infancy of mobile radars. There are no smartphones, there are no apps. So we actually had a laptop that we had outfitted in a vehicle, a news vehicle, and I'd turn on the radar, I'd go driving out. Sometimes I'd be with a photographer, sometimes I'd just have a camera and I'd be by myself. And you'd kind of have to figure out where storms would begin to fire up, and you would try and get past them, and then you would try and chase them, not the other way around. So the goal was, if they were moving west to east, you're trying to get west of those storms, so then as they intensify, you follow behind. And there were a couple of times I'd park myself in the vehicle at a crossroads just so I could go north, south, east, or west, and I would just set up a camera and watch storms develop, and if they started to look potentially tornadic, I go chasing after them.
I never thought about it till you said it, that they call it storm chasing, not storm evading, and that makes every
right,
bit of
exactly
sense.
Right. That was my goal.
Were you ever like terrified that, this is a little bit too close for comfort?
One time there was probably softball-sized hail, and I had to drive the vehicle out to a farm and try and park the car as close as I could to a barn while I waited for the hail. And it was the first time I ever saw hail fog. So after all the hail, which then covers the ground, the sun comes out, that starts evaporating, and you actually get a fog over the hail. Never did, the year I was there, never did see a tornado. Came close to a couple of storms, but the massive hail was probably my scariest encounter while I was chasing.
Which fascinates you more, tornadoes or hurricanes?
But they're both so different. We talk about weather coverage from a television standpoint and hurricane coverage. Meteorologically, they're both very interesting. They're both very, very different. From a television standpoint, severe weather is usually a day. You come in early, you stay late, and it's usually over and done with in a few hours. A hurricane, as you know, you might be talking about it for weeks. You may be staying at the station for days or weeks on end. So the coverage-wise for a hurricane is far longer and far more exhausting than a night of severe weather.
But in terms of the weather phenomenon itself,
I've always been really interested in tropical meteorology, which was really beneficial going to the University of South Alabama, being on the coast. You focused a lot more. You learned all aspects of meteorology, but you also focused a lot more on what was happening in your own backyard. So we did a lot more tropical weather, which perfectly prepared me for forecasting in New Orleans. And then I had enough winter weather and severe weather training that I was able to handle my own with blizzard forecasting and severe weather, but they're both so different. But I've always found the dynamics and evolution of tropical systems fascinating.
When it comes, and somebody texted this in, I don't know if it's your wife as a reminder to you or not, but it said, happy anniversary, Chris. Is it your happy wedding anniversary?
She might have texted that. And yes, today is our sixth wedding anniversary.
Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
How'd y'all meet?
You know, funny story, and it all involves weather. I was walking in Lafreniere Park with my parents, and my wife, Amy, and her sister were walking the opposite direction. We were walking past. She recognized me from television and said, oh, is it going to rain? And I said, no, we're done. Kept walking. Not 5 minutes later, a downpour. I tracked down her number. My mom was a teacher and taught her younger sister. And I said, who was that? And she said, oh, that was Molly. I taught her. And I said, no, the older one. And she said, oh, that's your sister. I'm not sure of her name. Well, after that meeting, I had my mom corner Amy's sister, my wife, in school to get her name and contact. I then reached out to Amy via her email and said, hey, this is Chris Franklin. I apologize for my forecast. And as a station policy, for everyone that I've inconvenienced with an incorrect forecast, I owe a cup of coffee. So
smooth.
When you'd like yours, let me know.
Smooth operator. And it worked?
You know what? And that was on the fly. People said, oh, you used that line before. I said, I swear on a Bible, I have never used that line before. It never occurred to me. But I thought, for that girl, I need to use this line. And that's how I need to meet her. And we hit it off from there. Went to lunch and then got married.
Well, I'm divorced, and I like that. So I'm going to write that down. Chris, I'll use that line myself.
But all the good relationships always have a good meeting story.
They do. They really do. And I think that's a charming story. When it comes to all of the models we see now and computers and so forth, is there a lot of actual forecasting that you do? And do you often disagree with these? And if you do, what do they want you to do? Because, I mean, a lot of people depend on this. And I don't think people realize when it comes to meteorology, it's not just about us sitting at home wondering if we should cut the grass or not. They got a lot of businesses that depend on this, and there are a lot of dollars involved. So what do you do? I mean, people are depending on you, so what do they do? Do you forecast it, then see if the models match, or look at the models and see if it matches with what you think?
Well, we call computer models guidance. They're kind of guiding you one way or another. Sometimes the models seem like they have a good handle of a certain weather event, a tropical system, a cold front, rain chances, and sometimes the models seem to be so far off, you're truly left out on your own to just use your own experience and forecasting. And that's why, at least for me, I think it was helpful that I was from New Orleans and from the area to where I'm kind of accustomed to how our weather works and what I'm looking for if the models are calling for a cold front to move on through and sunny skies and cold air. And I'm thinking, well, you know, the last several times we had a similar setup, that front didn't quite move through, or it stalled on the North Shore and the city stayed cloudy and muggy and warm. So you use computer models, absolutely, but as guidance. I would never just blindly use any one of the computer models. And more often than not, the models differ. And we show that a lot of times during tropical season when we're showing the Euro and the GFS and the differences. And we kind of show that sometimes to kind of allow viewers to understand the uncertainty of meteorology and why sometimes we do get it wrong. We're trying to predict the future. And if the models are in complete confusion, then sometimes we are as well, and we're trying to either split the middle, split the difference, and try and, you know, take a little bit from each model, or we just rely on our experience and education to make a final push. So I'm not a rip and read meteorologist. That was the old term from when the you know, the dot matrix forecast would come into a newsroom from the weather service. The person would rip it and read it on the air, and that was the forecast. I do my own forecasting. I get in, look at computer models, look at the radar, satellites, current observations. I look at what's happening now, look at what has been happening, and then use models. We all four in the weather team make our own forecast. And then we look at, okay, now I'm saying this. What is the weather service saying? And do I agree with them, or do they agree with me? And we just kind of go from there. So there is a lot of art and science into putting a forecast together. And, yeah, there is. We know there's a lot riding on that forecast for not just the, you know, Little League baseball game, but a lot of businesses relying on that forecast as well.
Money, money, money. Real quick, when it comes to TV meteorologists, not real ones, but fictional ones, or movie meteorologists, do you have a favorite?
Bill Murray in Groundhog Day.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
Because there are so few, or Brick Tamblyn from Anchorman, who also kind of epitomizes some of the folks in our industry.
I can tell you what your favorite part of that Bill Murray Groundhog Day story is when he goes into the forecast and he tells a person, "Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you wanted to talk about the weather." Is that your favorite part?
Because nobody pays attention to us.
Exactly. Thank you, Chris. This is a pleasure, and I'm getting a lot of positive text here about what a nice gentleman you are, what a cool guy you are, et cetera. And congratulations on your being named WWL-TV Chief Meteorologist.
It was a humbling and a humbling experience and an honor to be in the position. I mean, it really is. It's surreal. I keep thinking about it. It really is a dream come true.
Well, thank you, sir. Have a great time with your daughter today in the pumpkin patch. And happy anniversary. Tell your lovely wife, please.
Thank you so much, Tommy. I appreciate it.
All right, Chris Franklin, WWL-TV Chief Meteorologist.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.